Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hi, Ken, and hello to all the listeners out there.
Yeah, and we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you so much for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years now, we certainly appreciate it. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A reminder that our shrine to Matt Talbot is open in St. Gabriel Church, mostly or primarily Tuesdays and Thursdays, following daily Mass at 8:30 a.m. until about 6 p.m. On Tuesdays, we have our Calyx Mass following the shrine there. Most Tuesdays, it's in the Annex building. We'll talk about that after the break at the bottom of the hour. But on the third Tuesday, we stay in church. We have our Matt Talbot Novena prayers and Mass, and they begin at 6 o'clock in the church. This month, again, it'll be Tuesday, December 21st. All are more than welcome to join us.
Also, our new Mass, Ken, on Fridays now.
Yeah, if you happen to be in South Philly on Friday afternoons, we have Mass in our Matt Talbot Chapel at noon, which comes right after or 12:05, I guess, right after the Angelus. And then after Mass, we expose the Blessed Sacrament for about an hour and have additional Matt Talbot Novena prayers. So all are more than willing to, or more than able to join us. Again, that's 12 o'clock every Friday in the Matt Talbot Chapel. It's the corner of 29th and Dickinson, formerly the Bill Shea Funeral Home.
So again, always like to say to invite those who have loved ones who are addicted and they don't know what to do. And I often think of the parable with the four men that carried the paralytic, put it through the roof, and Jesus looks up and he sees the faith of the four men, and he heals the paralytic on the faith of the four men. And our loved ones who are out there on the streets and on the bridges and up alleyways sleeping in cars are paralyzed, you know, enslaved in bondage with this terrible disease of drug addiction, alcoholism. And we can come and pray before the Blessed Sacrament through the intercession of Matt Talbot, and something will happen. You know, the Lord's telling us right there in the parable. He will touch the hearts of our loved ones through our own faith. And our prayers are powerful, especially Eucharistic prayers, the prayers of the Mass. And I'll even hear confessions during that time. Anybody wants to hear, go to confession. So come one, come all.
Very good. That's every Friday, 12 o'clock, in our Matt Talbot Chapel. So let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception and St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica,
pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G,
pray for us.
St. Francis and Claire,
pray for us.
Michael, Gabriel, and Rayfield,
pray for us.
And all the saints and angels,
pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com, you can call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially need your calls around the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment where we witness to one another how God's touched us in a particular way in the last few weeks. So if that's happened for you, you had a God incident and want to share it with our listeners, we'll give you a reminder before we go to the break to give us a call. We are in the second week of Advent, and this week there are a couple saints on the calendar. On Monday the 6th, St. Nicholas. Hope everybody left their shoes out and got them filled with candy on Sunday night. On Tuesday the 7th, St. Ambrose, Bishop and Doctor. Today, Wednesday the 8th, the Immaculate Conception. Thursday the 9th, St. Juan Diego. Friday the 10th, Our Lady of Loreto. And Saturday the 11th, St. Damasus the 1st. He was a pope. So, we have a feast day, solemnity to celebrate today, and we'll begin with the Immaculate Conception. Hopefully, most people have either been to church or will get to church shortly, as this is a holy day of obligation. We were blessed last night to have Mass at St. Gabriel's at 6 o'clock for the Vigil Mass and in preparation for our Calyx meeting. So, a great feast day in the church, sometimes misunderstood. People will often think that it's really the Annunciation when Christ was conceived in his mother's womb, the Blessed Mother's womb, when actually what we celebrate today is when Mary was conceived in her mother's womb, that she was immaculately conceived without sin, as we prayed earlier. Oh, Mary, conceived without sin, especially on this day. And so, you know, I've contemplated it often, and Father Calloway was the one that pointed out to me years ago that we went to see him talk over in Jersey somewhere, and he had mentioned that, you know, Christ is the only human that had created his own mother. And it took a minute for it to sink in, but, you know, we believe that Jesus Christ is, you know, fully human, fully divine. And, you know, as a human, he got to, or as a divine, he got to create his human mother, only one in history. And so you would think, and I've thought about it over the years, you know, if I could have created my own mother, I would have created her immaculately as well, and not given her the stain of original sin, and as Mike McLaughlin would say, you know, without the concupiscence. And, you know, just the, you know, one thought on that is, you know, for years I always thought that the Blessed Mother, you know, had it easy. She didn't have original sin. She didn't have concupiscence. And so she didn't struggle with all the temptations and life of sin that us mere mortals have. And, you know, when you really think about it seriously, she certainly didn't have an easy go of it. And, you know, from day one when she finds out that she's going to be the mother of God, you know, right up until the crucifixion and even after, you know, eventually, you know, having to leave the Holy Land and head for Ephesus in what's now current day Turkey to live out her days. And so her life was far from easy, and right from the get-go, after, you know, having the birth of our Lord, having to travel to Egypt for some period of time, and then travel back again to Nazareth, where they would raise Jesus. And, you know, just I think about what it's like just to raise my own kids, and can't, you know, the responsibility that would come with, you know, not only raising a child, but raising, you know, God the Father's child. And but at the same time, realizing that just as God gives us all the grace that we need to handle anything that comes our way, Mary would have been given grace abundantly in order to suffer the way she did, to raise Jesus the way she did, and to become the mother of all the way she has right up until this day. And what a gift she was at the crucifixion. You know, I was thinking about this today, Father, that, you know, it was, you know, it wasn't before the crucifixion or after the crucifixion that we received Mary as our mother, but right at the crucifixion. And just one more thing, one more blessing, one more grace that came, not only the forgiveness of all our sins and the gates of hell were opened, but to be given this blessed mother who watches over us, asks for us to consecrate ourselves to her son, and that ministers all the graces, if you will, to all of us. And so we could spend days talking about everything involved in the Blessed Mother, and there's probably, you know, more than one course offered at the seminary on Mariology. But anyway, some of the thoughts I had today as we celebrate this solemnity of the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah, boy, does she suffer, you know, just thinking of the seven sorrows of Mary. Anyway, Ken, the Immaculate Conception, that conception in the womb of her mother, she's full of grace right there. She's the highly favored daughter. She's the mother of Jesus, right? And she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And when I think about the Annunciation, you know, sometimes we depict it, artists will depict it, a light's coming down into her womb, and like Jesus is coming from a star or something, and he's descending into the womb of Mary. No, he's already there. By her Immaculate Conception, the Trinity is already present there. So the Word is going to become flesh from right within her, and the Word is going to become one of us. You know, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, and then through Mary, to us. But, you know, the Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal is really titled Our Lady of the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, and that's connected with the Immaculate Conception, the medal. But because of all the signs and wonders of the medal, it took on the nickname Miraculous Medal. But perhaps just to give a little summary about Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, Our Lady of the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, July 18th, 1830. It's the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul. And she has this hunger and thirst. She really believes something's going to happen, that she's going to see the Blessed Mother. And that night she goes to bed, and she hears the voice, you know, a little boy, a child 4 or 5 years old, clad in a simple gown, dazzling whiteness, holding a candle. And he says softly, "Sister Catherine, Sister Catherine, come to the chapel. The Blessed Virgin awaits you." And then he leads her. He leads her through the hallway, and all the candle lights are lit, and she's amazed that nobody's waking up. And she gets to the chapel. The big, heavy doors swing open, and the child, they go over, genuflect, and Catherine waits. And then all of a sudden, the announcement comes. Here is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Mary comes from portrait of St. Joseph on the balcony as we get ready to end the year of St. Joseph, the connection there with Joseph. And the first thing she does is she comes down, and she doesn't nod or bow or bless herself or genuflect in front of the altar in the tabernacle, which is one at that time, but she prostrates herself. She puts her face down. The Queen of Heaven and Earth, the Mother of God, is showing us who's in all the tabernacles of the world. And then she goes over and she takes the seat there and sits down. And for two hours, she converses with the Blessed Mother. And Catherine would say when she looked into Mary's eyes and Mary looked into her eyes, it was the sweetest time of her life. And what this is unparalleled, this apparition, because mostly all the apparitions, as we know, Mary is on a cloud or in a niche or above the ground, and no one's really touching her. But here is Catherine with her hands on her lap. And for 2 hours, the Blessed Mother is speaking about all the trials and tribulations that are going to come to France. And, you know, the king's going to be dethroned in time, and the French Revolution is going to come. And she gives the remedy. She says, tell the people to come to the foot of the altar. Great graces will be there for those who ask for them. It's like all the remedies are there at the altar of God. It's where Jesus breaks the devil's back. So beautiful and wonderful. And then she says, you know, that the good Lord, good God, has a mission for you. And then she disappears, and the little boy takes her back to her cell, and all night long she's wondering what this mission is. And of course, we know that it's November the 27th, four months later, that the first Sunday of Advent, 1830, she's in with the other novices. She's a novice, 22 years old, and the Blessed Mother comes again as they're in prayer on that first Sunday of Advent. And it really fell the same time this year, on the first Sunday of Advent, November 27th. But, of course, she sees the Lady of the Globe. She's standing on the globe, and she's holding a golden ball with a cross on it. And she says to Catherine, this is a symbol of the world, of France, and in particular for every person. And she holds it up, and the golden ball disappears. It's like God receives it. And then, of course, the medal itself. Our Lady in the front there with her hands outstretched and her foot on the serpent and the rays coming out of her fingers. And then it revolves around the other side. And, of course, we see the 12 stars, the M, the cross dissected by a bar, the two hearts there, you know, the heart of Jesus crowned with thorns with a cross on top of that, and also the heart of Mary that appears with the sword. It's just amazing. You know, Father Adedel, when Mary, you know, get this struck later on, Father Adedel says, ask the Blessed Mother if she wants me to add something because it really looks plain. And so Catherine goes back and says to Mary, Father Adedel thinks it's plain. Would you want to add something on the back? And she said to him, tell him it's enough. And when you look at it, Ken, it's more than enough because it's all about the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I call it my Eucharistic medal. I see those beautiful stars that are around, you know, really a symbol of ourselves, the mystical body, and that bar that dissects right in the center as a symbol of the altar, come to the altar. And with the medal, tell everyone to wear it around their neck. Those who wear it in confidence around their neck will receive great graces. And you know how many medals I give out all the time, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been part of my life since I was a little boy. My mom and dad wore them. And how the people in recovery and people, addicts up and down the street, they don't even know what to call it, but they're attracted to it. Father, you got another one of those necklaces? You know? And I can't tell you how many I give out to them, but they embrace it. And some of them, they still wear them around their necks. And it makes me feel great, you know, because it's a sign. It's that silver bullet that Maximilian talks about. Really, to dispel Satan from all our evils and all the temptations, to wear that beautiful gift that Mary gives us, that God gives us from heaven. So there's the story of the medal, of the Immaculate Conception, the miraculous medal.
Yeah, I would imagine that it's probably the single most well-known sacramental, if you will. And
yeah, with the rosary, yep.
Yep. And we're blessed here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to have the Miraculous Medal Shrine on Chelton Avenue in the Germantown neighborhood of Philadelphia. And I just know of miracles that have happened there. One of our listeners, a good friend of mine, Jimmy T, they actually got him to go. I tricked him into going, actually. He had asked me where to get a... he had found a holy water font that he really liked and was going to put in his house. And he's like, he called me or sent me a text message. Where can I get holy water? And, you know, most of our parishes will have a holy water somewhere where you can, you know, fill personal bottles and take them home with you. And, of course, St. Luke's, our home parish, has one. But I told him that to go down the Miraculous Medal Shrine, that there's a spot at the top of the steps where they have an urn where you can, you know, draw water and fill up a bottle. And that was almost 3 years ago. And it's just become a special spot for him. I remember back in the day when I went through my conversion and started praying the rosary regularly with my good friend Paul and Wayne and Next thing you knew, the three of us were going to the Miraculous Metal Shrine just about every Monday. Paul and Wayne were always there. I got there when my schedule allowed it. I even took my older son, Matthew, went with us a few times, and there was a great priest there, Father Finn, that took a liking to Matt. And it was just a life-changing thing to see the devotion to our Blessed Mother. Of course, you know, it's coming up at 12 years, a Catholic school, and certainly said my share of Hail Marys. But it wasn't until I prayed the rosary and then learned about and visited that shrine that you know, the Miraculous Medal had a real impact on me. And then I come to find out later that when I told my father I was going there, that after his parents had died, he was only 13 when he was orphaned, but he had an older sister that was a couple years older than he was, and when she turned 18, she got my father and uncle, and the three of them lived in an apartment right there on Chilton Avenue, right across the street from the shrine. And the story went that a lot of the high school kids would go back in the 50s and 60s because they weren't allowed out on school nights. But what parent's going to tell their child that they can't go to the novena prayers at the Miraculous Metal Shrine? So my mother would get on the bus from Chestnut Hill and go down and meet my father at the Miraculous Metal Shrine. So. Yeah. It's still a really popular spot. There's a number of nationalities that you'll see there over the years, especially the Vietnamese and Filipino and what have you. It's just this worldwide devotion to the Blessed Mother. And to go there and see the devotion that people have is really incredible.
Right, and the statue is really considered one of the world's finest statues of Our Lady that adorns the altar of Mary's central shrine there.
Yeah.
A couple other things. They have the first medal, the first 10 that were struck, they have one of those 10 there at the shrine. They also have a piece of the material that the Blessed Mother sat on that seat.
That's right.
And one of the other things, I remember I was there with Father Welsh, and he said this to me. He said, do you want to see faith? I said, no one can see faith. He said, well, come with me. We went up to the Shrine of Mary there with the marble altar rail. And he said, put your hands on the inside of the altar rail from the top, and you can feel the marble worn down. And you think throughout the years, people who went there in desperation for the intercession of our Blessed Mother, grabbing hold of that marble altar rail and rubbing that marble down. So there you see the faith of the people. Also, I wanted to mention, too, today, on December the 9th, Mary's conceived, and we celebrate her birthday on September the 8th, 9 months after, and we celebrate the Annunciation on March 25th, and 9 months later, he's born on December the 25th. So it shows that life begins at conception, and that's what we get in this beautiful day, this holy day of obligation, the Immaculate Conception, that Mary's life is full, she's full of grace right at that moment. And so are we. But we don't receive what she received at the Immaculate Conception, but Bishop Sheen said, at our baptism, we receive what Mary received at her Immaculate Conception. We too become full of grace, become full of God. We are grafted to Jesus Christ. But this feast day really tells us when life begins. It begins at the beginning. And we began our lives at the beginning in the wombs of our mother when we were conceived.
Yeah, and we continue to pray for the decision from the Supreme Court. You know, they had the hearings last week, and I think it's not going to be until June until we hear the outcome. But I did see today on the news that I got via email that now Arkansas either already passed or is on the verge of passing a heartbeat law similar to Texas. And so, you know, for all those that have spent their lives on the forefront of the pro-life movement, you know, we may actually start to see, you know, some real fruit of that movement. Of course, over the years, so many lives have been saved through their intercession, through their prayer, through their sidewalk ministries, and what have you. But in these in these turbulent times that we're living in right now, you know, with everything else that's going on with the evil and spiritual warfare that we're seeing, that to think that, you know, Roe v. Wade has a possibility of being overturned, you know, in the next 6 or 7 months, or at least allow the state laws to continue to remain in force like they are in Texas, that, you know, some great wins are coming. And the evil one certainly can't be happy. We know that the pro-death folks are losing their minds over it. And we just continue to fight the good fight, knowing that in the end that God is going to triumph one way or the other. We just need to bide our time until that happens.
Yeah, and pray for those who are on the front lines. You know, I think like the Sisters of Life and Pat Stanton was an inspiration. He is Fran Rafferty, how much we miss him, right, Ken? How pro-life he was, always down there protesting in front of those clinics. You wonder how many lives and many people may have turned back just looking out the car window and said, I'm not going in there, you know. But, yeah, we need to get this right. This is the whole foundation. And if we get this right, graces will abound more and more. And I just think that God's been so good to our country, our nation, because we have been good to so many people and the poor and all. And you know, we're just waiting for that day when we can turn this around and, you know, rebuild and see all the blessings that will flow when we start to respect life and loving one another from the moment of conception till we come home and see God face to face.
Amen. I want to give out the numbers. Again, we're just about, we got a couple minutes till the bottom of the hour, but in case anybody wants to call, the number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. I know last couple of weeks we've gotten quite a few calls, but and we certainly appreciate them, and it's all a lot of our friends in the recovery world. It'd be nice to get some calls from those that, you know, we don't know from Calyx or you know, the Shrine and the ministry. Just let us know that you're out there and listening. When we do come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. But before we go to the break, Father, any final...
I was just going to say, too, that, you know, when I go to Mass, Havertown, or other places, Ken, people will come up and say, hey, I listen to you and Ken on the radio. And that's encouraging, just
Amen.
To... you know, get some feedback once in a while, and especially when we do get the callers. That means so much, you know. I was at one point, I said, is anybody listening out there? You know, but then you, the Lord keeps you humble, but wherever you go, even on the retreat, I was hearing people coming up and saying, yeah, I hear you guys on the radio.
Yeah.
So that was really, really encouraging. So, and all those who are listening, keep us all in prayers, especially our work with our mission work and our house ministries, and it's that prayer power. We're all on the same team, the mystical body of Christ, and we need to work together and fight the evil one and bring that peace and joy into all the hearts of God's people. But good days are coming, Ken.
Amen.
We're in bad times, but, you know, we know who won. We read the book.
That's right.
And the victory.
That's right. And it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, but it'll all be worth it if we just need to hang in there, pray for one another, take care of one another, and continue to fight the good fight, knowing that we're on the right side in this one.
Yeah, and take Mary at her word when she was speaking about all the troubles times bear back in 1830. Take her at her word. Come to the foot of the altar. The remedies are here. Come to Mass. Come to Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary. Find life burdensome, all you who are afraid, disgusted, scared. Come to me, and I'll take care of you. So let's take him at his word and come, and Mary's word, come to the foot of the altar, to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and be transcended into the glory of God.
Amen. That brings us right to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we need your phone call so we can have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers in the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. A reminder to check out our website at inhissign.com. I'm a couple of weeks behind on getting the recorded shows up, but copied a bunch of them today when I got here, and try to get them updated tomorrow morning and get it up to date. Also, you can go out and like us on Facebook, In His Sign Catholic Radio. And I think most people know by now, but just in case, you can actually watch Kathleen live on Tuesdays through Facebook Live. So, keep in touch with us, especially on that Facebook page. We get all the updates as to what's going on. The other thing we want to keep you up to date on is the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in the Annex building to St. Gabriel's Parish. The building's on the corner of 30th and Dickinson, and the entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood Street. So you come through the door with the Calyx magnet on it, come up to the third floor. It's six flights of steps, just be warned, but if you come every week, you can give up that gym membership. You get all the workout you need getting up and down to the meeting. But we begin at 6 o'clock. We have the Angelus and then some short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. Also, on the third Tuesday, we've resumed our Matt Talbot Healing Mass over in St. Gabriel Church. So rather than go over to the Annex building, following the shrine being opened all day at 6 o'clock, we'll pray the Angelus and some prayers. We'll have Matt Talbot healing prayers and then Mass at 7 o'clock. In January, we will start having presentations or talks following Mass. We have Megan Coakley lined up for January to talk about the Unbound ministry. So all are more than welcome. As Father said, whether you come to Mass on Friday at noon at the Matt Talbot Chapel or come to our Calyx Masses or the Matt Talbot Healing Mass, It's not just for those that are addicted. It's for anyone who is impacted by addiction. And there's very few people these days that don't know somebody, a family member, friend, that either struggles with addiction or is in recovery. And so all are welcome. We also have a Calyx unit in Abington at Our Lady Help of Christians, and we meet there on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8 o'clock Mass in the morning and then have a Calyx meeting afterwards. So the next meeting at Our Lady Help of Christians will be Saturday, December the 18th. Also, my good friend Tom Gallagher has resumed the meetings up at Queen of the Universe Parish in Levittown. They get together on the first and third Thursday of the month, and I believe that's at 7 o'clock. If you either contact the parish or contact me, I can get you the details on those meetings. I got to update my little script here, so we have it for you next week. And then last but not least, at 5 o'clock today, I'm going to be joined by Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, and we're going to be talking about his book, Diary of an American Exorcist. So a really interesting book, to say the least, and Monsignor Rossetti is a great interview, so stick around for the 5 o'clock hour, and you can learn about his work as an exorcist, something we don't hear about every day. And speaking of not hearing about every day, nobody called, Father. And
not yet.
Not yet.
They're listening.
Yeah,
the
not
Spirit
yet. That's
is,
right.
Touching their hearts.
That's
and
right.
The holy boldness will be overflowing soon.
Yeah. Yep. But in the meantime, kind of an odd but God that you know about that started this morning, and I had always thought at some point that I might be able to offer retreats, and you know, through God's grace and two different people that I know of that declined to do the retreat, I was asked to do a women's serenity retreat in January out at Malvern. Now, because they didn't have anybody to offer the retreat, the registration has been low, but it's a retreat for women that are in recovery. And if you don't get enough of me on Wednesdays and think it might be interesting enough to make a retreat with me, I would love to see you out at Malvern. The registration is available on the website at malvernretreat.com. And the reason it the kind of is that odd or is that God is I know that the retreat house had contacted Father, and he got back to Joanne, who coordinates the retreat directors for all the weekends out there, and Father got back to Joanne to let her know that he wasn't available. And Joanne knows that I guess knows that I work full-time with Father now, said, well, what about Ken? And so the first thing I did after I talked to Joanne and knew that they were definitely interested in having me, which is a blessing in and of itself, I shot Kathleen a text message to ask her for prayer, just like she would ask for prayer when she's given her retreats. And here, she wasn't available that weekend either, and they had asked her. And I often, you know, we've kind of joked in the past about the three of us being our own little trinity here, and here it took the two of you to decline the invitation in order for me to possibly get my first retreat. But it's only going to happen if they get more people registered. Obviously, they're not going to have a retreat and go through all the costs of putting it on for just a handful. So,
if God wanted you, Ken.
Yeah.
And once they know Ken Johnson is directing the retreat, they'll be coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, we'll see, Father. We'll see. But
we'll gather a lot of women down here. Don't worry.
Yeah. But if you have any, if you know of any women that are in recovery that might be interested in making a retreat, by all means, let them know. It'll be the weekend of January 7th to the 9th out at Malvern. It'll be in the Family Life Center, which is a real nice facility. The rooms, you don't get a private room. They double people up, but it, you know, the building is only 20 years old, and you're not going to need air conditioning in January, that's for certain. But the accommodations are a little bit nicer than in the older sections of the retreat house. So come on out. If you have any questions about the retreat, you can always you know, call Malvern or get in touch with me, and I'll answer what I can. So, how about you, Father? Any odd or gods in the?
No, but I did want to comment what you were saying about, you know, our masses and all, and what we just got done talking about, what Mary's telling us to, you know, go to the foot of the altar, and that's what it's all about. You know, when you mention also we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies, and then you look at Matt Talbot and where he got his recovery and sanctity, you know, was at the altar. You know, confession and sacraments, his rosary, doing the Stations of the Cross, and becoming a mystic. And the founders of the Calix Society as well, Bill Montroy and the founders, it was the alcoholic priest, Father Pat Cunningham, that they brought every day for several weeks to the altar. And nothing else worked, but the Mass did. So what you were saying, Ken, it's just not for those who are in addiction, but those who suffer with their loved ones in addiction, they receive those graces and peace of heart, and to know that the Lord loves us all and he has all our backs, and he does bring the peace and the joy even in the midst of all of our crosses. So come to the foot of the altar, come to Mass, come to the sacraments for the personal encounters with Jesus, and all shall be well.
Amen. Amen. Because I don't know how you do it without it, you know?
Yeah, really.
It was interesting. I had somebody pass along a link to a website, and there was the guy by the name of Ernie Kurtz that has written a couple books about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think he himself was an agnostic, and even now with the number of groups that are out there, that and there's even an organization, WAAFT, it's an organization for agnostics, atheists, and free thinkers, and I have to be honest that I don't know how I would have gotten to where I've gotten to without Jesus Christ, my Catholic faith, and all that the Catholic faith entails, especially the Blessed Mother. You know, she was the one that led me to her son back in 1993, and you know, just you know, thinking about, you know, what's going on today, and it was at Malvern that, you know, I had that spiritual awakening or spiritual experience back in 1993, and now to be asked to come back and give retreats at the place where, you know, I experienced the probably one of the greatest gifts I could have received, because if it weren't for that, who knows where I would be today. And
6 and green. 6 feet down, green on the top.
You got it. You got it. And that's really what I wanted, you know, before I learned how much God loved me, and the mercy and forgiveness that he had just waiting for me. All I had to do was ask, and a little bit more. I mean, you got to do a little more than ask, but be repentant and what have you. But to be blessed to be able to be asked to go back and, you know, give back what I was given so freely, and try to have a you know, a little bit of impact on those that suffer with the same or similar addictions that I had is it's a gift. And it you know, and it's also, you know, it just shows you how awesome our God is, that he can take people that are lower than low, knocking on death's door, not from a physical ailment, but because they don't want to live anymore. And, you know, bring us to a point where we actually have something substantial to offer the world. And not only do we think we might have it, but to have that recognized by those that are around us is absolutely incredible. And to think that I could be a part of God's plan in this way it really is humbling. And there's no way I would have ever been able to do this without God and the Blessed Mother to begin with, and then all the people that have helped me over these almost 30 years in recovery to get where I got to today. And there's a long list, and for the last 13 years, Father, you're right at the top of that list.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah, you are too for me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's how it works. We can't do it alone. We weren't meant to do it alone. And, you know, that's what the evil one wants us to do. He wants us to isolate. He wants us to think we're, you know, that we're no good, that we're the only ones that have this problem. If anybody else finds out about it, then we're really doomed, and it's really quite the opposite. It's when we let other people know that we have struggles, that we need help, that not only can we get the help that we need, but the joy that we can give somebody else by allowing them to help us, it's beyond measure. It's beyond measure. I was listening to something on the radio on the way out today, and it, you know, the priest was talking about how we're meant for sacrifice, you know, that for all ages, you know, we have, we're born to sacrifice ourselves for God, for our neighbor. And so many, especially in this Western culture, don't think that way anymore, that it's about what we can get and how we're going to get all the material things that we need and have a happy life. And that's the reason why so many people are anxious and depressed and everything else, because you can never get enough of that. But it's when we sacrifice and do things for others, we do things for God, that's where that real joy comes from. And you talked about that, you know, last night, that J-O-Y, Jesus only you, and Jesus is the J and the Y is you, and the O is for nothing in between. See, Father, I do pay attention. But anyway, you know, what a gift it is to recognize and to learn that, you know, sacrifice isn't a bad thing, that it's by laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters and for God that we get everything that we need.
Beautiful, Ken. And you say, that saying made me think of you can have gold ships and silver ships, but no ships more valuable than friendships. And that's what you are to me, more valuable than gold and silver. Especially since you came aboard here full time, Ken. You don't have no idea how so much pressure and tension has been taken off me because of you.
Yeah, well, I'm trying, Father. I'm trying. And it's been great to get an inkling into everything that you did do, because I don't think anybody out there realizes all the work that goes on. And it, you know, it's not just offering masses and hearing confessions, but the phone calls, the knocks at the door, the sidewalk ministry, and everything that it entails. Speaking of which, looks like we stirred up Mike to give us a call. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. Hi, Father.
Hey, Mike.
You're at the top of my list too, Father. But anyway, I hope everything comes out right, because I've been thinking about it, and I just hope I don't go off. But anyway, I was thinking about the first of all, January 25th, 1987, somebody opened up the gates of hell and let me out. Now I know it was Mary, and through the grace of God, I got sober. And, but I had to get sober first to recognize that. And I was thinking about the readings last night and how the, how the taxpayers, tax collectors and all the people wanted to turn their life, or wanted to know the answer, like, to what they should do. And, there's so many people out there that want help, you know, but, and even recovery, like, you know, you got to want it. And that's what I was thinking of. Like, these people wanted help, and they wanted to know the right thing to do. And John the Baptist was telling them, and, Herod was, you know, was censored by John, and they locked him up. And I don't know if it was, Herod's brother or and his wife. I think that she cut his head off, or wanted his head. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was. Is that right?
Yeah. So John had given Herod a hard time because he was in an illicit affair, and so as a result, she wants John's head on a platter.
Right. And And so I was thinking about that. And then today, I'm in a meeting this morning, and the guy was saying, like, you know, he went to 12 years of Catholic school and did, you know, religious things in college. And but he don't believe in the inception and with the, you know, came down with St. Gabriel. But then again, he talked about, like, the St. Francis prayer. And, you know, he wouldn't be able to deal with people who didn't believe in the St. Francis prayer and trying to work for all the, you know, for all the things that we transfer over to from the prayer. And then I was thinking, like, if he believed in the St. Francis prayer, don't he realize, like, St. Francis believed in, you know, the Blessed Mother? And I was thinking, like, how many Hail Marys we say, you know, it's unbelievable, and thank God she said yes to St. Gabriel, and thank God, you know, and it goes on from there, how my life was transformed from when I came to believe and turned my life over to the care of God, and the transformation that happened is unbelievable. And I know Father, like, where we came from and the transformation that happened in our lives, and we compare ourselves to ourselves. Like, we're always grateful. And more will be revealed, right, Father? But I'm just sitting here and I'm just thinking, like, you know, I wanted to say something last night about the readings, and I said, let me call in and see what Father can stir up something in Father's brain and Ken and see what they have to say about it. But it's nice to call in, and I'll listen to you. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Michael. Always great to hear from you, pal.
Thanks, Michael. You know, Ken had, you know, you were talking about Mary, and then Michael called in and talked about Mary, and he did stir something up in my heart. And when you think about his name is Jesus, that's the reading for tonight, and, you know, with Mary, you shall call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And more than that, death itself. More than that, eternal life. But it's Mary where Jesus comes through. And when I was young, you see, the mission of Mary is to bring us to Jesus. And Jesus' mission is to bring us home, forgive sins, and bring us home to the Father. But she's always pointing to her son. When I was little in the house with my mother and father, with the statue of the Blessed Mother, the crucifix, and all the miraculous medals around their necks, they would point at the statue of the crucifix and say, see God, and I would say, oh, God, God, I see God. And then they would point at the Blessed Mother statue and say, see God's mother. And in my little childlike mind, I believe, well, that's his mother, so she's more powerful and bigger than the son. I didn't understand in my childlike mind, but later on I did, and I realized that my first connection with the divine was through Mary, and then Mary brings me to her son, and that was so beautiful and powerful. And to make a long story short, Ken, and I know you heard this so many times, but I'm sure somebody listening didn't hear the story, that the miraculous medal, I always wore it, and I remember waking up. First of all, I just want to mention, you know, that letter that I wrote to the Blessed Mother, please ask your son if I can be a priest, you know, and then Sister said, go home and ask the Blessed Mother for what you wanted. And the nun who had us write the letters in school, she said, she's burning the letters and they'll be mailed airmail from the convent yard. But you go home and ask what the Blessed Mother, what you want from the Blessed Mother. And all night long, dear Blessed Mother, please ask your son if I can be a priest. I pestered her hundreds of times, looking out the window at the full moon. It was white. It looked like a host with a golden cross through it. And then suddenly I hear her voice say, shh, go to sleep, my son. Someday you will be a priest. And of course, again, all the struggles throughout, you know, my addictions and all, thought it was a figment of her imagination, and yet I kept hearing that those words of hers. But it was the morning I woke up as a priest. I said, let me open my first gift, the first morning as a priest, and the first gift was a miraculous medal, and it was glittering in the sun. And I said, this is special. I got to get a special priest to bless this, maybe the pastor, the assistant pastor, the priest that helped me, with my ceremony for my first Mass. I said, it has to be a special priest to bless this. And I said, wait a minute, I am a priest. And I blessed the medal, my first, and I still have that medal, and I carry it in my oils. But you did stir something, Michael, in my heart about Mary. She was the first one, and she brought me to her Son. And that's her mission, to bring us to her Son, who brings us home to the Father, where we come from, where we belong, and where we're going.
There you go. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it, pal.
All right, guys. All right. I'll
be good.
To you later.
All right. Yeah, the story never gets old, Father.
I know.
You know?
It's so fresh in my mind, Ken.
Yeah.
Indelible.
Yeah.
Like it's yesterday.
Well, we got just a couple of minutes left here.
Yeah. Well, Gaudete Sunday's coming up.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. And
that's right.
It's joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. So they have St. Augustine and even Paul. Where do we find joy? We find joy in our Lord, the Blessed Mother. My spirit rejoices in the Lord, my Savior. Joy is of a person, not of things, not material things, pleasures outside us, but inside us. It's three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus brings it all together through his humanity and brings us right into the triune divinity. And once you touch that, there is joy, joy, joy. And here's the other thing, Ken. I didn't say this last night. I probably should have. When you have good news brings joy. And I remember when I taught at Bishop Shanahan High School, and I remember that it looked like it was snowing out with seventh period, and little Marie raised her hand and said, Father, could you pray tomorrow that we don't have any school tomorrow, that it will snow enough? I said, sure. We all prayed in Hail Mary, and at the end, the amen was so clamorous. So I said, they really got faith. And sure enough, I get a call at 5 o'clock in the morning. There's no school today. Well, I leaped out of bed, jumped in the shower. I'm taking a shower. I'm singing Christmas carols, you know, and I'm tying my shoe ready to go out to, have a snowball fight or something with the kids, whatever, after Mass. But I said, hey, wait a minute. I stopped in my track. What is this? Why am I so happy? In the some mornings it was like, good morning, God. And this morning it's, good morning, God. I said, what happened? I said, well, I got good news. And that brought me joy. And then I realized we got the best news of all. Jesus Christ became one of us, our Savior, who's with us through it all, who forgives our sins, our shortcomings, our character defects, restores us, redeems us as if we never sinned, and brings us home to eternal life. That is good news. That brings joy. And we got that all the time. So keep that in mind, and we'll always have joyful hearts on this Sunday, third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, when we wear rose colors, a sign of God's joy. So rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord.
How'd you know I was going to ask you what color those vestments are? Monsignor Flood used to always say they were salmon.
You know, we always say pink, but they're really rose, and it's the color of the sky when you see the sunrise.
That's right.
And it changes rose color, and you're waiting for that sun to come up, and that tip of the sun, you anticipate the sun. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. All of a sudden, it bursts up, and that fiery sun comes up, and it's like, here, you know, Gaudete, we're waiting for the coming of the S-O-N, not the S-U-N, the S-O-N. We anticipate it. He's coming. That's Christian hope. Expect him and anticipate him, because he's surely coming to save us, to take us home. That's what Christmas is all about.
Thanks, Father. And a quick blessing. We got 30 seconds.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for this Advent season and for all our loved ones who have gone home already to you, especially for Cindy Pyle and all the loved ones. And Lord, keep our hearts as one with yours and sanctify them so that we may know that nearness of your Sacred Heart through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Chaste Heart of St. Joseph, so that may we experience the joy that you really want us to have in this life and forever in heaven. And we ask this blessing, Father, in Jesus' name, in union with your Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Happy Advent. God bless everyone.
Thank you, Father. Our guest is already on the line, so when we come back from the break, we'll get right to it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.